Talking preventing and treating dental disease next here with Lowell Akritz, the doctor, dentist who's been a regular guest on our program for a long, long time. Larry Mueller here. Really pleased to have him back and happy to have you listening in. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments as we move along today and talk about your teeth and mine. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. And we're always pleased to have your emails, too, and email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll love to hear from you. And Dr. Lowell Akritz, welcome back.
Nice to be here, Larry.
Let's talk a little bit. We've talked about this a bit on the show, but I think it bears a little repeating. The issue of bacteria and inflammatory things in your mouth getting into the bloodstream. Gum disease is associated or connected with diabetes, heart disease, strokes, pneumonia. So, you know, it's really a good idea to be taking care of your gums and your teeth.
That's very true. Of course, the dental profession has been stressing good oral hygiene for decades, obviously. But it's only within the last few years that some research projects have shown that the bacteria, which do accumulate in the gums during severe cases of periodontal disease, the proliferation of these bacteria is just tremendous. And as a result, during eating, chewing, brushing, these bacteria can enter the bloodstream. And when they do get into the bloodstream, they can cause all kinds of problems, including heart disease and contribute to diabetes, the problems with diabetes. And also, they're showing some indications with stroke because these bacteria influence the accumulation of bacterial plaque within arteries. So it is very important today to take good care of your teeth and prevent any type of serious gum infections in your mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll admit that years back, I think when I started seeing you as a dentist, I had some gum problems.
Right.
And I'm pleased to note that with the judicious use of these little sticks and
right.
regular brushing, of course, I've really eliminated that gum problem, and it's been great.
Right. The old adage of, you know, brush your teeth twice a day and use dental floss once a day is really very true today. And
yeah.
if you do that, you can basically take really good care of your gums and keep everything healthy. And then, of course, regular visits to the dentist to make sure that you're doing a good job.
Yeah. And I just got a clean bill of health from Joy here not too
there
long
ago. There
you go.
There you go. Very good.
Andrew in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Doctor. I have a question about Sonicare tooth care toothbrush.
Right.
What are the pros of using that sort of a system? Is it legitimate or is it gimmicky? Or I've already bought it and I'm already using it, and I just want to know if I'm going down the right path.
Well,
I'll hang up and listen.
For years, I've been a big fan of electric type toothbrushes, motorized toothbrushes. Sonicare is one variety. It uses a high frequency type of movement within the bristles to accomplish what it wants to do. And it is a good system. Most of the other types of electric toothbrushes use either a revolving or a brush that revolves back and forth,
right?
Or twists and does an adequate job of cleaning. The Sonicare is a good unit. It's a little more expensive than most, but it does do a good job. There are occasionally people who really don't like the vibration that it causes. It bothers them. So, you know, it's a problem for them. But most people can use a Sonicare very well, and it does an excellent job. It's not really a gimmick. It does the work. It does the work. And you combine that with something that will clean between the teeth, such as dental floss or these little balsa wood sticks known as Stimudents. You do that and use an electric toothbrush, and basically you're accomplishing all that you can do to keep your mouth healthy.
Thanks for calling. Tony in Juneau, I believe, is next. Hi, Tony.
Hi there. Say, one little comment about the bacteria. I read a book on bacteria recently, and they said that the mouth almost has as many trillions of little bacteria per gram as the colon does. That was an interesting fact. I wanted to brush my teeth a little more.
Yeah, of course, you know, the mouth being a much smaller part of the body doesn't, you know, the total volume is not there. But you're correct in that, you know, the numbers of bacteria on a, if you want to do it on a per gram basis or you know, if you with regard to dental plaque, there are just tons of bacteria contained within that substance. It's very true.
All right. My comment was about I just recently had my teeth cleaned, and I had a little problem between my teeth where the gum tissue actually adheres to the tooth itself. It's right in my front teeth. And the dental hygienist who was cleaning my teeth said that, yeah, you have a little problem there with one area. It's starting to show a little bit of deterioration. And she said that sometimes it come back, you know, you got to make sure you keep flossing and keep flossing. And now it's been a few months. I haven't seen anything get better. I mean, that's all I'm doing is flossing. I just was asking if there's anything better I can do.
Well, as I just mentioned just a few moments ago, there are several other ways of cleaning between the teeth. You can buy little plastic tooth devices that clean between the teeth. You can use the dental floss, of course, and there are some little balsa wood toothpick-like devices called Stimudents, which work very well also.
I use those, and they're great.
Yeah, I use them myself, too. It's a really handy way of making your gum tissue firm and healthy, and the cost is minimal, and you can do it, you know, when you're sitting and reading a book or watching TV or listening to the news. I don't advise doing it while you're driving, but
I was going to say that.
But I've seen people use toothbrushes while they're driving. But I consider that in the same category as using a cell phone while you're driving. It distracts you, so I wouldn't advise
with both hands. Yes.
Yes, it's hard to drive with using dental floss with both hands. Right.
Okay.
Thanks, Tony. Right. But keep it up, and if you keep doing that, I'm sure the area that is of concern will improve no matter what.
Okay, thank you much.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Janine in Green Bay is up next. Hi, Janine.
Thank you. How are you?
Great.
I have read that dental disease can cause mental illness. Now, my son is a dentist, and he said there's no claim for that. What do you think?
I have to agree with him.
Why did I read that in a couple of different publications?
I don't know. I've not read anything in the literature or even in the common type publications that would indicate that dental disease would cause mental disease.
Okay, well, they could be older books that I had read or something. But why doesn't it make some sense that maybe it could, that bacteria is so close to the brain?
It could be a chicken or egg thing, too. A person with mental disease might not be taking care of his or her teeth better.
That's a very logical explanation, that someone who has mental problems may not be taking care of their teeth, and as a result has a lot of deterioration of their oral health. So that's a possibility of looking at from the reverse.
The reverse.
But I've not seen anything to indicate.
Well, you know, I'm going to try and find where I read that, and I'll send it to you.
All right.
Okay,
do that.
I'd like to see it.
Thanks, Janine. Thanks a lot for calling. No, that's one I haven't read either. John and Gaze Mills, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you today?
Great.
My question's based on the mouthwash commercials where it says it kills 99% of the germs. If you're flossing, and if you're brushing first, then flossing, and then using a mouthwash before you go to bed, and then when you get up, because it's my understanding that a lot of germs and bacteria form in your mouth overnight, if you're then again using that mouthwash again in the morning, you know, maybe brushing, is that a good dental hygiene practice? Does a mouthwash make a difference, or am I just making my breath smell better for my fellow man?
No, it does make a difference, particularly if you're brushing and flossing and then, you know, ending up with a good swish of a mouthwash. The only thing that I would recommend is staying away from mouthwashes that are high in alcohol. An alcohol-free mouthwash is just as effective as a bacteria killer as the ones with alcohol, and alcohol tends to dry the tissues out when you're using that type of material, and it's not as good. But certainly it all those things that you mentioned are part of a good regimen for good oral health.
Okay, so you would brush first and then floss, or you would floss and then brush?
I don't think either way is relevant. You could do it either way.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks a lot for calling. And I usually use the sticks first and then brush, but
yeah,
what's the difference? Beth and Superior, your turn. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I was wondering if he promotes or that an antiseptic mouthwash is better than a regular mouthwash.
Well, most of the mouthwashes today are antiseptic in nature, and they do kill bacteria. It's that's their nature. They're designed to do that. And as I said, the only thing that I have against any mouthwash is if it has a high alcohol content. I'm not in
favor. What would be a high alcohol content?
30%.
Okay.
You know, actually, mouthwashes historically have been used in alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but other than that, the alcohol within a mouthwash tends to affect the tissues of the delicate tissues of the interior of the mouth. And my only feeling is to use an alcohol-free mouthwash, which effectively will kill the bacteria and do the job and give you good smelling breath as well.
Yeah.
If you're not a person who regularly, and I'm one of those bad people who don't floss every day, can you get away with it with the antiseptic mouthwash?
Well, let's put it this way. It'll help a bit, but it's not going to be a substitute for good oral hygiene.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Matt in Green Bay. It's your turn. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. Just calling about a product, you know, the Water Picks that used to be on the market. They're still out there. People use them. I'm wondering, Water Pick, when you use that unit, it really puts a high pressure jet of water in between your teeth and up, and it really jams up into your gums. I'm wondering if that's more detrimental to washing more bacteria further up into your gums.
Well, using a Water Pick, you have to use it correctly. You don't want to aim that jet along the long axis of the tooth so that the water jets right into the gum crevice. You have to do it perpendicular. In other words, you shoot the water between the teeth, in the spaces between the teeth. And there's a phenomenon, a physics phenomenon, which will actually, as the water passes through, it actually sucks the material in the gum pockets out. It's the Bernoulli principle, mm-hmm. is what it's called. And if in physics, you know, if you have a T-shaped pipe and you put water through the cross of the T, it causes a vacuum in the vertical part of the T. And this is the principle involved with the Water Pick. But never use it. And it is good for some things. It dislodges food debris. I usually recommend it highly for people who have braces, because the braces tend to accumulate stuff between the brackets and the wires and everything, and the Water Pick really works well to debride those areas. So it's another type of oral hygiene device, which is, you know, you can overdo anything, and you know, I certainly don't recommend using a Water Pick, an electric toothbrush, mouthwash, dental floss, and Stimudents all at once, but you know, any one of those things or any two or three of them in combination will do a good job of keeping your mouth healthy.
All right.
Is there danger in washing that bacteria up in the gum pockets between your teeth?
Well, it's not so much the
system. So yeah.
It's not so much the danger of washing the bacteria up, but that jet of water is so strong that it can actually tear the tissue, and it can affect the attachment of the gum tissue to the tooth structure. So that's why you don't want to aim it up along the long axis of the tooth. You want to make sure the water passes between the spaces between the teeth.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Lowell Lackritz with us today to talk about preventing and treating dental disease. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Brittany DeAnda, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about your teeth and treating dental disease today with Dr. Lowell Lackritz, Larry Mueller here. We will go right back to the phones, and Peter in Muskego is up next. Peter, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Got a quick question, and this actually may dovetail a little bit with the Water Pick. I have a situation where I've got kind of a small mouth and big hands, and my teeth are really crammed together quite tightly. So I end up, when I floss, I end up ripping the floss apart and having difficulty getting the floss back out. What would you recommend?
Well, what may I ask what kind of floss you're using? There are several different types, some that have a coating of wax on them, some that are wax-free. They come in various thicknesses.
Yeah, my dentist asked that maybe I try the sort of a glide, sort of a flat floss with wax on it, I believe. It's like an easy glide type thing.
Right, right. Actually, it's glide floss. It's made by the same people, I think, that make Gore-Tex.
But I also have difficulty getting my whole hand in the problem.
I understand.
You know, between the molars. You know?
I understand. Well, there are devices you can buy or get in pharmacies and so forth, little floss devices where it's like a little fork-shaped thing made out of plastic, and you can wrap the floss around the fork, and you can get that back between the teeth, which is a little easier to use.
And I've done that, but I end up having to then cut the floss and pull it
shreds.
Out sideways, you know?
Well, you know, I might suggest going back to earlier in the program, the Stimudents, the little balsa wood toothpick devices that are available at pharmacies. And
grocery stores.
Every place. Yeah, you get a little package of them. There's about, I don't know, 20 or 25 of them to a package. And you just break one off and just, you know, put it in your mouth and kind of get it moist and then work it between the teeth. And it does a great job as far as that goes. You might find that a lot healthier. Larry's just bringing out a package that he has in his pocket.
There are 25 in a pack.
He just had one in his pocket, right.
Do you actually have to hang on to these, or you just roll them around in your mouth?
No, you hold it in your hands. You use it just like a toothpick would between the teeth, but they're made of balsa wood, and whereas toothpicks are made of a very hard type of wood and can actually abrade the teeth, these are made of balsa wood and don't do any damage to the teeth themselves. And, you know, you don't want to jam it in there and sit and create a situation where you might cause some bleeding or something, but using it gently between the teeth, working it back and forth between each tooth a couple of times, actually squeezes all of the bacteria and plaque out from between the teeth, and it works very nicely.
Very good.
Try
it. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, they're not all that expensive.
By the way, I don't have any stock in the Stimudent company, but it's just that I like it as an oral hygiene device.
Marilyn in Montford, it's your turn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a medication that causes me to have a very dry mouth to the point that sometimes I can't even talk, make my form words because my mouth is so dry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about whether that kind of a situation or condition makes it easier to get cavities and other problems.
Actually, if you have diminished saliva in your mouth, that can be detrimental. The saliva acts as a buffer to the acids that form within the mouth by the bacteria that are, you know, in the gums and so forth. So having saliva actually decreases the amount of acidity. And if your mouth is extremely dry, it can cause problems as far as dental decay, particularly around the gum line of the tooth. I would recommend using an artificial saliva material. There are several of these on the market. They come in either a spray bottle or something that'll put drops in your mouth. And two or three sprays several times a day will help keep your mouth moist and make up for that lack of saliva. There's one called Salivart. There's another one called, the name escapes me for the moment. But, you know, if you stop in at the pharmacy, they will usually have two or three of them in stock. And if not, they can get them for you. So it's not a problem. They can look this up in a book that most pharmacies have, which is a non-prescription drug catalog that lists these things in it, and they can. There's, in fact, the copy I have, I think, lists like six or seven different artificial saliva materials. So there's plenty of them available, and it's highly recommended.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Marilyn. Jim and Siren, your turn next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I was wondering if there's a diet that I could take on that would allow me to stop brushing my teeth. I really hate brushing my teeth, and I kind of feel like, you know, we haven't had toothbrushes forever. Humans should be able to figure out a way to not have to do this, I guess.
Well, the only diet that I would know that would help to do that would be to stop eating altogether. Because because any food that you put in your mouth will contain or liquid will contain sugars. It'll contain various proteins and materials that can be utilized by the bacteria in your mouth to produce the acids, which can cause problems. And I know even if you don't like toothbrushing, you know, it's something you got to do.
Do you use just a regular toothbrush, or do you use an electric?
I use a regular toothbrush without fluoride in the toothpaste.
Okay.
I try to not eat much sugar.
I would suggest getting an electric toothbrush. They have a very small head on them. It's a little round little head, and it's got the Braun brand uses a little brush that is reciprocal. It goes
back and forth.
It revolves around an axis reciprocally, and that's a very good one. It's real easy to use. You let the toothbrush do the work. You don't have to manipulate your wrists or your fingers. You just put it against your teeth at the gum line and just slowly
let her go.
You bet. Just slowly move it around, and it'll do the job for you. I think you'll find that even though you don't like to brush your teeth with a hand brush, this will probably make the job a lot easier for you.
I'd invest in one, Jim.
Yeah, and they come in, you know, there are some that you can get that are like $6.99 at places like Target and Walmart, or you could go to a little more expensive one with a rechargeable battery that I think Braun makes one for $19.95, and then they go all the way up to like $150. So it depends on what fancy model you want to get or what minimal model you want to get.
Mine's but in the $20 area.
Yeah, right. The $19.95 one works just as well as the $150 one, believe me.
All right, Jim.
Thanks.
Go out and get one. Scott in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hello. Hey, doctor, I've got a question. I saw something on, I think, Good Morning America last week or the week before on crowns made in China, and they're coming back with lead in them, kind of like the toothpaste that Scandalead broke, I don't know, 6 months ago. Any word on that, and do we know where the crowns that our dentists are putting in our mouth are made?
There are some dentists in the United States that use dental laboratories in foreign countries such as Japan and China. I've heard of this just recently, and I thought to myself, geez, it's a long way to send a case to get a crown done when there are very adequate laboratories to use in this country. But
is it a price thing then?
Yes, it is. I mean, the dentists can get them done a lot cheaper in places like China and Japan. But, you know, the cost is relative. You know, you're looking for some quality, and rather than try to find, you know, cheaper is not always better, nor is expensive always better, but you know, there's a middle ground that you can get to. And
but you can always ask your dentist.
I would assume. You know, basically that's what you want to do. Ask your dentist where he gets his crowns processed and what kind of metals are being used in them. The metals that are used in the United States are very highly refined and controlled. Over the years, any detrimental alloys that have been used for this purpose have been sort of phased out. And many dentists make their crowns now out of solid porcelain. There's no metal in them whatsoever.
Yeah, from what I understand in the report, the lead wasn't in the metal. It was in the actual porcelain.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's something to be concerned about, although I would suspect that once the porcelain is fired and turned into a glass-like substance, it's not going to be easy for whatever lead is in there to get out. But I would certainly avoid anything containing lead or beryllium or any of these toxic metals that have in the past been used and are no longer used by the dental profession for the most part.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling, Scott. Doris in Chautauqua is up next. Hi, Doris.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I would like to know, I've had the testing for the measurement of pockets between your gums and teeth, and I'm wondering what measurement and how extensive before scaling and planing would be needed.
Usually anything more than 3 millimeters.
Anything more than 3, and like how many of them in a mouth?
Well, sometimes, you know, for insurance purposes, some insurance companies will not pay for extensive gum treatments unless there are more than 5 pockets of more than 4 or 5 millimeters. They just set these standards. But, you know, from the standpoint of health, any dental pocket that is deeper than 3 millimeters should be treated.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask a second one?
Surely. Go ahead.
I was wondering what the average fees are for periodontal therapy, the scaling and planing and that kind of thing.
It varies quite a bit. And, you know, I must admit I've been out of touch for a little while with this area of dentistry, but, you know, it can be $150, $200 per quadrant. So
okay.
they divide the mouth into four quadrants, and for extensive planing and scaling in a case of periodontal disease, that could be the fee. It could be, you know,
mm-hmm.
up to a couple hundred dollars a quadrant.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much for the information.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And you can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And we have some open lines. We'll get you on pretty fast. Shirley in Prentice, your turn. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. Thank you, Larry. I'd like the dentist to comment on the use of, I don't know how to pronounce it, bisphenol A in sealants. I've read about that business they're talking about with baby bottles and some of mm-hmm. can linings and so on.
Right. Well, that happens to be a material that's used in plastics to keep it to mold plastics, and it's part of pretty much everything that comes in a plastic bottle. The plastic bottles have that in it. And there is some concern about that material leaching out of the plastic, particularly in baby bottles lately.
But anything with teeth? Would it relate to any sealants in teeth?
Well, the sealants themselves do contain it because the sealants themselves are a resin. It's a plastic. The chances of anything, any harm coming from having a sealant put on your teeth are so small because the amount of sealant that's used is so small that even if all of your molar teeth were sealed, you'd have really a minute amount of sealant on your teeth. And the fact that any bisphenol A that would leach out of that would be well below any federal standards for safety. And I don't think it really is a problem for the use of dental sealants to be worried about bisphenol A in that case.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Shirley, for calling. Pam,
good question, though.
Yeah. Pam in Spring Green, your turn. Hi, Pam.
Yeah, I've been listening to your program while I'm doing errands, and I heard you talking about the stimulant, so I was right near a pharmacy, and I went in and bought some.
Good for you.
And I took one out, and so my question is, and I was doing it while driving too. I know that's a no-no, but what the heck. I gather these are basically for cleaning the tooth up around the gum line.
Yeah, it's for between the teeth.
Well, they don't go between the teeth. There's at least my teeth are close enough together that they don't go between the teeth at all.
Well, you don't have to push it all the way through necessarily. Although as people get older, their gum tissue shrinks a bit and it becomes easier to put the stimudent through. But to soften it a little bit in your mouth first, let it get
right,
a little wet and you know, just work it kind of between the teeth. You don't have to force it or anything like that. Just getting it even just partway in there is sufficient to get it to have it be effective. So
the idea is to do it up near the gum line.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the gum line where the teeth, just in the space between the teeth where the gum tissue kind of fills in that space.
If you flip over the little package that comes in, there's there's a drawing.
Right.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, it
there
shows
is.
Because the device itself has kind of like a flat edge and a more tapered edge.
Right.
The flat
and it
edge
comes to a little point.
Right. The flat edge goes toward the gum, and the tapered edge goes above that into the space between the teeth.
Okay, because the picture shows it actually inserting between the teeth not near the gum, but low.
Right.
A person
my age or Larry's age, right? We can get those little stimulants through the areas completely, but a younger person tends to have a tighter and the gum tissue fills the space more completely. It's a little more difficult to get it through.
Okay, well I'll just use a little more push. It just says here don't
over force it.
Yeah. Do not force into tight spaces
right.
between teeth.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, thanks,
Pam.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See, somebody actually does what we tell them to do. Yeah. That's good.
That's good. Matthew in Middleton, your turn. Hi, Matthew.
Good morning.
Morning.
I basically have one or maybe two questions. I've been looking, as I have my fillings replaced, at doing gold inlays in my back teeth, more for longevity purposes than anything else. And when I asked my current dentist if they're still trained on placing gold inlays, he said no. So I'm wondering, do you need to visit a dentist that is trained and has skill in placing inlays, or is it a general dentistry procedure that any dentist is going to know? And second, can you maybe mention the quality levels of the metals that are used in gold crowns, from base metals up through noble metals, and if there's a preference towards leaning towards one or the other?
Sure, I can. Well, you know, I think I'd have to disagree with that dentist who said that dentists are not trained to do cast gold restoration of teeth anymore. This is taught in dental schools, and they usually have a requirement that they have to do so many of them before they can graduate. And so it is still being taught. Many dentists are getting away from using metals in teeth, and using these resin materials, which require a great deal of skill and labor to get them done correctly. A cast gold inlay, well done in a tooth, is probably the finest restoration that can be done of a tooth. I have some in my own teeth that have been in there for 50 years.
Wow.
And they're still functioning well. I had them done when I was in dental school by a fellow student, and the care was so meticulous that these have held up all these years. So it is a good alternative to any other dental restoration. They do last as long. And with regard to the metals concerned, usually the gold that is used or the alloy that is used for these types of purposes is at least 50% gold. And there are metals that are more base structure that have less precious metal in them, but usually the alloys are made of palladium and gold, silver, a little bit of silver, some platinum, a little copper, and these are all these formulas by the companies that manufacture these things. They're all proprietary, so you never know exactly what the percentages of various metals is, but they always tell you what the percentage of gold is, and one that's at least 50% or more is probably the best.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And Jeff in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I just wanted to call for the guy that didn't like to brush. I took your advice and went to a Crest Spin Brush Pro back about 4 years ago when I had a root planing actually scheduled. I canceled it and started using the Spin Brush Pro, and I've had perfect teeth ever since.
All right.
Well, that's a great endorsement. And you know, I've seen this myself, you know, among people who have taken up this type of oral health, and it does work. It really does. It in fact will get rid of a lot of periodontal disease totally.
Yeah, and they very even seldom check my pockets anymore because they've been so good for the last 3 years.
Oh, that was
on your guys' recommendation.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
You
All
bet.
Right. Thanks,
cool.
Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, we got an email from a frustrated flosser who's spent a fortune on dental work who says, I have a hard time believing American ingenuity has not yet developed a more effective toothbrush. For example, one with fine longer bristles mixed in with standard bristles that will glide between your teeth all the way through to effectively work as flossing at the same time as you brush. Make it sonic or at least electric, and who would not use this?
Well, I don't know. I recommend it all the time. Although there are some designs being promoted now with bristles on electric-type toothbrushes, which they claim will get between the teeth and clean between the teeth, and they probably do a reasonably good job of it. I'm still in favor of getting something physically in there, such as floss or what we call an interdental cleaning device, something that cleans between the teeth directly. But, you know, if you're using an electric toothbrush with the newer design of bristles on it, you're going to do a pretty decent job of it. And there are several of them on the market that do that. The Sonicare is one. The Oral-B is another one that has a specific bristle design for that purpose. And so basically they do work, just as the gentleman who just called before it said 4 years ago he started to use an electric toothbrush and it got rid of his gum disease.
Yeah.
So it does work.
Tim in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I have a question about my wisdom teeth.
Okay.
I, like many Americans, don't have access to health insurance or dental insurance. And I'm not a rich man, so I've had my wisdom teeth all my life. And I'm wondering if I should have them pulled, if it's any danger having them in there, you know, for my entire life. Or,
you know, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay. You know, it depends on so much on the positioning of the wisdom teeth, if they have grown and erupted into the mouth as the rest of the teeth have and are actually functional, you're using them for chewing, or if they're buried in the gum tissue, I would probably seek out some help or advice from a dentist with regard to those wisdom teeth and get an opinion as to whether or not they should be removed or not. Many wisdom teeth can stay in somebody's mouth their lifetime and not cause them any problem whatsoever. Others will get problems with them if they're just partly erupted. You can get an infection around them or inflammation, and then it becomes a real problem. So I would get the wisdom tooth area x-rayed and just get an opinion.
I've had them x-rayed before. The ones on the top row of teeth came in perfectly straight.
Okay. That's usually what happens.
The ones on the bottom are kind of pointing forward a little bit and aren't completely erupted. But,
okay.
You know, I don't have a problem. I just take the extra few minutes to brush around them real well.
Well, that's good. The only problem with that is the older you get, the more difficult they are to remove, because the bone of the jaw gets denser and becomes harder and more firm, and it becomes a more difficult procedure to surgically remove them than it would be if you're a younger person. So I guess it's a decision you make yourself based upon advice from a dental professional.
Yeah. Think about
it. I'm unable to tell you because I can't see them. So
yeah.
I can't tell you for sure. I can only advise you one way or another depending on a professional opinion.
Yeah. Good luck. Thank you very much, Tim. And Lowell, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
We'll have you back again, I hope.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
We'll do it again. Dr. Lowell Lakritz, our guest, as we talk with him about treating dental disease and working with our teeth. And from the teeth, let's go to the rest of the body. We'll be talking physical fitness coming up next with our guest, Dustin Maher, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.